President.
You doing all right?
Yes.
I want somebody over there to, I want to thank them for the editorials on this Vietnam thing. I don't want to be quoted, but we never needed help more than we do, because we have got very inexperienced people who die at 35 years of age. That's their life expectancy, who make $65 a year, trying to manage a big government that they've never had any experience in. And we've had 8 of them in a period of a year. And we've had this one now for 8 months, and it's the best one. And it shows more social consciousness than any one we've had. But it's far from our standards, and a lot of times people don't think our standards are worth a damn. And so at best, we've got a problem. But they do have 700,000 people in the service. And they have had 30,000 people killed, mayors and officials, last year. And they have been fighting for 20 years, and they don't want the damn communists imposed upon them. And we have just gone through some very careful checkings, and our judgments are that in the South Vietnam, that the sentiment's about 4-1 anti-communism. Now, we think that's conservative, and we think they've proven it by their fighting and by their dying. And we killed 5,800 of them last month, and we took out about 20,000, considering the wounded and the casualties and everything. They can't hold on to that many months, but they're making a good stage here, because they're saying to Hanoi, we all split to hell, we all divided, everything's going bad. And one day we say, if you'll just hold out a little bit longer, while we'll recognize the Viet Cong. The next day, Bobby comes along and says that he's thinks that we ought to give something, they ought to give something, and we'll have to give the Viet Cong some places in the government. And every place we've had a coalition government, it's been bad, whether it's Hungary, Poland, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, North Korea, any goddamn place. And our position is, we believe in self-determination. If the people vote and elect the communists, we can't do anything about it, whether it's Bond in Georgia or whatnot. But we damn sure can't appoint them. And we damn sure are not going to impose them upon people who are dying to avoid it and have us sell them out. Now, Fulbright's endorsed it. The New York Times is giving them hell. Bobby caught so much hell with all the editorials. The Post, the Star, the News, all of them had rough editorials on it. That he's backed away from it. Now he says that he means after the election. Well, if he does, that's all right. But he didn't make it clear when he talked to television. He said that we ought to put the Viet Cong in the government. And he didn't say they ought to elect him in the government. He said they ought to put him in the government. And this Senate could get away from us. You got the old isolation group made up of the North Dakota Nyes, Montana Wheelers, and the Indiana groups. All the group that's just there, and the mothers and the brothers and everything else. And I just hope that your people can spend a little special attention on this, like you do once in a while on Bobby Baker and the budget and some of the other lesser important items in the world, and try to save our position in the world and in this little country. And I believe it. If you get your staff ginned up a little bit and have a few special articles and a few interviews and a few little campaign here the next few days, I think it would be awfully good for your country and in keeping with the principles that you believe in. And I don't want to appoint and impose the Viet Cong on people who are fighting against it. And I can't stand it by myself, because I can't take the Morses every day and the Fulbrights and all of them. And, Fulbright is cause us lots of problems, and at times he's very responsive to it. So I just thought I'd better, you asked me the other day what you could do, and I just thought I'd talk to an old friend. I hadn't talked to anybody else about it, but I looked at life this week, and I thought this boy did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I just finished it.
And I kind of hope that's something you might be interested in. Well, they determined that they had about 30, 40 speeches, and they wanted to hold the vote. And now they're going to want to put Morris's recension resolution. They won't stand to that. Then Joe Rouse got a deal up around that. We got a copy of a letter that his partner's written saying it ought to have what they call a cautionary sense of Congress. And anything is misunderstood abroad. And USIA is showing every damned editorial they're writing. They're saying, well, we thought Hanoi was breaking up last week, but hell, it's the United States that's caving in, and they're going to win in Washington what they won in Paris. And old man Greeny's got the same damned amendment. The French wouldn't let them draft the people to send to Vietnam. Now he's saying you can't draft them to send there. Now what the hell am I going to do with 200,000 boys out there and 400,000 parents in this country? Westmoreland comes along and asks me to send him 40,000 Marines. And if I turn him down, he's got to go in the caves. If I don't send him, I really escalate the war, because then damn, they got to go high, wide, and handsome with the bombing. It's more likely to involve us than to stay there and let us protect ourselves. So it's a hell of a note, and I don't get much of a program, much real substantive help out of this debate up there. And Russell's trying to get a vote, and he's told him he had to have a vote, and he's told him it's unpatriotic not to vote, but they still got 30, 40 speeches, and I don't believe they're going to vote until maybe Thursday. Could vote tomorrow, but...
This thing can wash out by action. All this crap. God damn it, there wasn't a guy on the committee who presented the administration's point of view.
No, that's right. It was
done damn well by Rust, damn well by Taylor. Hell, even Gavin did all that. But there wasn't a single senator, and I don't recall a time that's ever happened.
That's right. But Mansfield is sick and not with us. And Humphrey went off the committee. And Fulbright's gone off with Scotty. And that's it.
Mr. President, we'll do all we can.
Try to get you a fella to get Bobby's position, too. You've got a good headline this afternoon. Says that
Taylor is buying his position.
Now what it is, Bobby has got confused like Gavin did. He came out and appointed these communists in the government, and the hell broke loose. Then he backed off a little bit. And he says he didn't say it, but his television script shows that he said we ought to have... We ought to do the hard things. We'll have to give some things, and we ought to give the communist part in the Vietnam government. Well, I didn't say you ought to elect them. And now he's backing up. I think he's going to say they ought to be in the interim government. But you ought to have the best Shackelford whoever you got. You're saying, what in the hell do you mean here? Here's what you said on ABC television. That the NLF ought to be in the government. Now, you mean that you're going to put that in their platform, and you're going to endorse their platform and let the people elect them, or are you going to appoint them? Which do you mean? And if you're going to elect them, why, this administration's for free elections, even if they go against them. But if you're going to appoint them, why, how does that reconcile with all these statements you've made and your brother's made? And President Kennedy got a hell of a lot of statements. In his inaugural statement, he started off about what he's going to do to fight for free people. And Bobby
trotted him out. He trotted him out yesterday.
Yeah, in 62, Bobby was out there, and he made a hell of a statement. He said, we're going to stay here till we win. And now, by God, they're saying we got to throw in. So it's going to be bad enough for us in the weeks ahead. Anyway, and we ought to try to do it. Listen, Merrim Smith, I don't know how close you are to him. I don't know what to do about it, but I wrote him a little note because I like him better than anybody in the White House. And he's fair. I've never had him get off base. He doesn't misunderstand. His hearing's not bad, and by God, he don't get the wrong adjectives. But he didn't bring his boy in to see me and said he didn't want to for two reasons. He wanted the boy to be on his own, and number two, if something happened, he didn't want the president to feel like he was responsible. I thought that was an awful big thing when he left. He's a dean. He'd headed up. And when this happened the other day, I wrote him a little letter, sat down and dictated him a warm little note and sent it out to the House. And they asked me if I wanted to tell him. I said, no, you get some of his bosses to tell him because that'd be better. Today I got a letter that I read to the Security Council, and by God, I cried, and nearly everybody around the table cried. But it's the most beautiful letter that you ever read from a human being about what his boy died for. And he said when he wasn't flying a battalion helicopter, he was out doctoring the kids and teaching them to read. And that his boy didn't die in vain. He died trying to help the little people and keep them from being shoved around. And you can't write an editorial that's as touching as that letter. Now, I can't use a letter from a father that's lost his son, but he points out his two little children down here. But I wish you'd ask him, or have somebody ask him, if he got a letter and the president replied, if there's any reason why those shouldn't be used. I don't know what about the taste of it, whether it's good taste or bad taste, but I'm telling you, it's the most effective damn thing I've ever seen. My letters don't amount to anything. It's just a kind of a sob sister. But his has got real guts and cause and purpose in it. And it's something these American people need right now from a guy who's just given the only thing he had, his boy. I wrote him a letter, and he wrote me a letter. But his letter is news. His letter shows the Honolulu conference. His letter shows this boy said he was not a killer. That's one of the sentences he uses. And when he wasn't flying in combat, hauling the sick off the battlefield, he was out teaching the kids to read and write.
President?
Yes, sir. Thank you, boy. Thank you.